Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Now from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
We have a great trio of guests coming up this hour. Eli Drinkwitz, John Mozeliak, Bernie Miklas. At 11:15, 11:30, and 11:45 respectively, we are going to, in a few moments, hear the college football playoff rankings reveal, and then they will reveal the bracket. The selection show is underway right now. ESPN is running that, and we, of course, are keeping tabs on it, so you can keep it right here as we watch, and then we'll have Eli Drinkwitz on as a lot of that is going on. But we'll talk a lot about Mizzou and what they're doing. Mizzou KU about to go at noon in Columbia at Mizzou Arena, and the Billikens will play at 2 o'clock today, 1:45 pregame for them against Chicago State. That game can be heard on KMOX. We talked to Earl Austin Jr. last hour, and we also heard from Doug Armstrong. Great conversation with the Blues GM. You can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. It'll be podcast. I really think that you should. We're on Apple Podcasts, Sports on a Sunday Morning, that you should subscribe to our podcast and make sure that in case you miss anything, that you get our podcast. Our podcast has done very well over many, many years. We were one of the originals, I think, when it came to pushing the podcast out there because it does hold up. Sports on a Sunday Morning does hold up throughout the week. You know, we talk to a lot of the big names, movers and shakers, when it comes to making decisions. And a lot of these things, I think, sometimes need to be held in podcasts so you can listen to them whenever you want. So that's what I would do. I would just subscribe right now to Sports on a Sunday Morning podcast, Apple Podcasts or Odyssey or wherever you can, wherever you like to do it is fine with us. We also have the Gas House Gang. That's another one. Those aren't on Apple yet. We got to get those on Apple Podcasts. I know there's a lot of red tape you got to cut through sometimes to get those on. But that one is a lot of fun. That one is a four-man crew tomorrow. Bernie Miklas will be with me, Matt Pauley, live from the winter meetings in Dallas, and Kevin Wheeler. He's going to be with us as well. All four of us will be. And Matt and Claves and Ricky Horton are all going to be at the winter meetings in Dallas. So we'll be keeping tabs with what's happening with the Cardinals, and John Mozeliak will be there as well, and he's going to join us on the show here coming up at 11:30. Last hour, Earl Austin Jr., Doug Armstrong, we thank them very much for being with us, and we have Drink and Mo and the Big Dog coming up as our next three guests. Well, let me talk a little bit about what's happening. All right, let me set the table for what is about to be announced here, this college football playoff ranking and then bracket. Last night, a couple of things were decided. One was that Clemson is in some way, shape, or form. They will not get a first-round bye, but Clemson won the ACC last night. They beat SMU 34-31. It was crazy how it ended, too. They won it by returning a kick and finding a way to get after SMU had just tied the game with 16 seconds left. To send it to overtime, there was still time on the clock, and Clemson returned the kick 41 yards to midfield. And then after a 17-yard pass play, Clemson called a timeout. They had the ball at the SMU 38, and they kicked a 56-yard field goal to win the game. Just a special teams breakdown that ended up with a victory for Clemson over SMU. Does it knock SMU out of the playoff completely? Some believe it does. Others believe Alabama will slip in there in place of them. We'll see. We'll see. I'm not really sure what they're going to do here, but that was one game. The other one that determined a lot was Georgia and Texas. Georgia gets a first-round bye. They win the SEC. They win 22-19 in overtime over Texas. This will not hurt Texas too much, but they will drop. How far they drop, we'll see. But it's anticipated that they will still be able to host in the first round. But Georgia gets the bye. The Big Ten Championship went as pretty much expected. Oregon won 45-37 over Penn State. But a high-scoring affair. Oregon does give up its fair share of points from time to time, but a very explosive team, and they do have a good defense. Just Penn State played really well, but gave up 45 points and lost this game. 45-37, Oregon's the number one seed, should be. Penn State will fall. How far they fall, we'll see. Losing to Oregon, there's no shame in that. We'll see how far they fall. They don't really have a signature win necessarily. They just have two losses against two very powerful teams in Oregon and Ohio State. The other one, Arizona State beat Iowa State 45-19. That gave Arizona State a spot in the playoff and a first-round bye. It's anticipated that they get a first-round bye because of their 11-2 record. They would be, along with Boise State, Georgia, and Oregon, the four highest-ranked conference champions. So Arizona State will get a first round bye. They go from being picked last in the Big 12, last, to be getting a first round bye. And then you have Boise State. They've been great all year, and they won 21-7 over Barry Odom and the UNLV Rebels. And it has been reported, if you didn't know already, that Barry Odom is going to get the Purdue job, that they are hammering out the final details there. So that's really something. But Boise State shouldn't sniff at what they've done. They have run the table except for a 37-34 loss at, guess who, Oregon. Boise State's good, folks. They get a first-round bye, and we'll see what they have to deal with and where this bracket is forcing a team on them and what that means. That's kind of where we are. The at-larges will likely be Indiana and Tennessee and Ohio State and Notre Dame and Penn State and Texas. And then the question is, who's 11-12? Clemson's going to be one of those. Will it be SMU or Alabama? That's pretty much where we are when it comes to the college football playoff. A team that is not in the playoff is Missouri, but we are going to be joined by their coach, Eli Drinkwitz, who has had a fine year. And we're going to discuss his team, his recruiting haul, which was big, and the fact that he is going to come down with a huge award next Monday at the Missouri Athletic Club. He is the Sports Personality of the Year at the Jack Buck Awards. Eli Drinkwitz and the College Football Playoff Bracket Reveal. It's all coming next on KMOX.
The Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Back on KMOX with someone I always enjoy visiting with. It's 11:16, and on the other end of the line is Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of the Missouri Tigers. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, man. Excited for the border war here. I'm already here at the arena, getting ready for the Mizzou KU basketball game.
I love it. I figured you would be. You would either be in your office across the street or you already would be in the house. And you're in the house like a great fan. And you're a fan, without a doubt, of Dennis Gates. I can tell that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Dennis has done a tremendous job. And obviously, this is why you come to the University of Missouri to coach, to coach in environments like this. And, you know, our fans really have shown us at the football program an unbelievable amount of love and support this season. I mean, 13 straight sellouts and those guys making the environment so difficult. We were undefeated at Faroe this year, seven wins at home, which hadn't been done in school history. And next year we got 8 home games. So looking forward to continuing the streak.
Yeah. And I was in the crowd with my family at the Oklahoma game and one of my daughter's friends as well. And, you know, we're all watching it. They're both looking at colleges, and they both got into Mizzou. And so they're, you know, looking around wide-eyed at the whole scene. And you kind of take a step back and you say, you know, there are a lot of people involved here, but it's been under your watch, Eli Drinkwitz, that this football program, the stadium, the atmosphere, there is a different level to what's going on here. You are 20-5 over the last two seasons. You will be playing in another great bowl game against a competitive opponent, and there's more to come. I think there are a lot of things that are building right now for Mizzou, as much as you'd love to be announced today on ESPN as one of the top 12.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, at the end of the day, our goal is to make the playoff. We didn't quite get it done this year. We were about a minute 10 and a two-minute drive from getting it done, but we put ourselves in that position. Never going to apologize for finishing in the top 20 in the country, which is what we did through the regular season. And now it's an opportunity for us to continue the momentum. Obviously, these next couple of weeks are going to be important with what we do from a portal standpoint, as well as what we continue to build with the momentum. You know, I got a sneaky feeling we'll probably be playing somebody like Iowa in the Music City Bowl or something like that. So pretty excited about whatever the opportunity will be. But it'll be a great matchup versus two really good football teams, no matter where we go, because we earned that this year.
I am with you on that. And you've also, the other thing that you've done, just to keep it local here, is you have changed the game here in St. Louis, and not just Luther Burden and Brady Cook and so many others that have made your team successful, but I'm looking right now at some of these top players that you just picked up in the recruiting period. Eureka, Herman, we count them. Herman, we count Herman in the St. Louis area. Altoff, East St. Louis, DeSmet, right on down the line, you have made an impact here in St. Louis. Your recruiting of St. Louis is actually, if you were looking at a checklist of things that you've been able to accomplish, that has to be up there pretty high.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it all starts for us is recruit the state. And obviously St. Louis is an incredible part of our state. And when Missouri's at its best, we're recruiting St. Louis at its best. And for us to hit the number one player in the state back-to-back seasons, whether that's Kansas City or St. Louis, is really important for us. And now we got to turn and build that for next year. Obviously, some really, really good players in the 26th class, highlighted by DeSmet, winning the state championship two days ago on Friday night. So a lot of really good players in this state, and got to continue to do our job and get them.
You know, I was looking over the season, and as the season was going, actually, and I kept asking myself, you know, what is Missouri's identity? Who are they? And what are their wins, and what can they hang their hat on? And I figured it out as the season was going along, probably after the Auburn game, Oklahoma, everything, they all tied together. You found ways to win football games. At the end of the day, if things were not going well, I just talked to Doug Armstrong, the GM of the Blues, about this very thing. How high is your floor? And if your floor is high enough that when things aren't going well, you can still find a way to win, that has to be a positive for what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think our team's willingness to embrace their role and put the team first no matter what the scenario is, you know, never give up in any situation. I thought our guys, fought. I think we're 9-1 in one possession games in the last 2 years. And so, you know, obviously as we continue to increase the talent level, I think that's, you know, an opportunity to continue to try to get bigger wins. But at this day, in this conference, 16 deep, adding two of the best schools in the country with Texas and OU, for us to finish, in back-to-back seasons in the top six, when we don't necessarily have a top six budgets and all NIL and all that other stuff, for us to be swinging above our weight class, I think is a great sign. And now we got to continue as coaches is to continue to increase our talent level so that we can continue to do that. And that's the plan.
I'm curious your thoughts at quarterback as you look forward here. And obviously you're going to have to replace Brady Cook, one of the all-time battlers, without a doubt, at the University of Missouri. Do you want that type of person first before you're talking about talent? What do you look for in a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to be a wide-open competition, whether we get somebody out of the portal or whether it's somebody we have on campus or whether it's a true freshman. It's going to be a quarterback competition, which, at the University of Missouri, we're not scared of. We understand that competition is what makes greatness. And so for us, toughness, preparation, accuracy, decision-making, and leadership are really the five characteristics of a great quarterback. And so we're going to be looking for those five characteristics with whoever our starter is.
And then when it comes to, of course, looking at this bowl game, how healthy are you? And where do you see yourself in that area as you move forward?
Yeah, well, we're going to be, I mean, it'll be, I don't know how healthy we'll be. I mean, we'll be healthy from a standpoint of, the guys who had nicks and bruises. But obviously, we've lost quite a few players to season-ending injuries, whether you're talking about Connor Tolleson or some other guys who are getting fixed up so they can be ready for spring practice. We obviously, Luther's declared for the draft, or Armand's declared for the draft. But the one thing I know about this team is we're a gritty, tough football team, and everybody's going to want to send Brady Cook and Theo Weiss and Johnny Walker and Christian Williams and Chuck Hicks and all these other guys out the right way. And so, you know, we got a couple weeks to find it, put it together, piece it together, and that's what we'll do.
How do you block out, and you've done it all year, I feel like, the noise so that your players, not that it's happening now, but during the season, I heard you refer to that a lot. I don't care what people say about us. We're not going to listen to all that. How do you accomplish that as a coach and a staff?
Well, I think it's you got to be truth tellers, right? And at the end of the day, there's not a lot of truth. There's opinions, but it's not always truth. And in order to be a truth teller, you have to have a relationship with your team, and they got to respect that you'll be willing to be honest with them. And that's really what we're going to do moving forward, is you just continue to be honest and tell the truth and align what you say and what your actions do. And I think that's really been the biggest significant improvement for us over the past 3 years, is just the alignment of what we say and what we do and how we carry our standards around. You know, culture is not what you say on the walls. It's what's talked about in the halls and the way your actions are led. And I think that's been the really cool thing about this team, is our actions and our words have aligned.
Eli Drinkwitz is with us, and on December 16th, he is going to be honored at the Missouri Athletic Club. Coach, the members of the Missouri Athletic Club received a ballot at the beginning of October. They went over it. They made their evaluations, and when it was all said and done, you received the most votes as Sports Personality of the Year. You can only win it once. Jack Buck started this back in 1970. Bob Gibson was the first winner. And in 2024, you will receive the Sports Personality of the Year at the MAC. What are your feelings on that?
Yeah, I mean, what an awesome honor to see the names of other people who have received that award. I think it's pretty prestigious and pretty cool. And to have the opportunity to be associated with such great people is an awesome opportunity.
And Brady Cook is going to receive the Carl O. Bauer Award, and he'll be right by your side. It'll be when you get that response from the crowd, I think you'll be blown away by the ovation from that group in there. It's a heck of a room, which I'm sure you're well aware.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty fired up. You know, I've been to I was at a Christmas party on Friday night in St. Louis at 801 Chop House, everybody was already talking about that event and how excited they were. So it kind of raised my level of expectation.
That's cool. Well, I look forward to seeing you. Thank you, as always, for joining us on KMOX. Have a great game today as Mizzou takes on Kansas, and Eli Drinkwitz will be in the crowd. We appreciate you.
Hey, M-I-Z beat KU.
There he is. Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of the Tigers, jumping in on sports on a Sunday morning. Well, they are, as we were talking, they are revealing the college football playoff bracket. So let me tell you right now what we have in front of us. They have already revealed the bracket when it comes to the byes. So the 12-team field, Oregon is number one. That was expected. Number two is Georgia, the SEC champion. They've just revealed that Boise State will be the 3 seed, receiving a first-round bye as the Mountain West champion. And Arizona State has checked in as the number 4 seed, and they get a bye in the first round as well as the Big 12 champion. Again, Oregon, Georgia, Boise State, and Arizona State are seeded 1 through 4 and will receive a first-round bye. They are methodically going through the bracket reveal, and right now they've revealed the first-round matchup, 5 versus 12. It will be Texas as the 5 seed. Texas lost to Georgia last night, 22-19 in overtime in the SEC championship, and Texas will play Clemson. Clemson is the 12 seed, the ACC champion. They could not get a bye. They weren't ranked high enough, but they will get in as an at-large, of course, as the champion. So the 5 versus 12 will be Texas at home against Clemson, and the winner gets Arizona State as the 4. What a run that could be. At first glance, that looks like something that Texas would find very appealing. As the 5, they've earned that, as they're the best team not receiving a bye. But we'll see. The 5 against 12, and then they get Arizona State next. We'll go through the rest of them when we come back. Penn State has just been announced as a 6th seed. They will play somebody who has not been revealed yet, and then the winner gets Boise State. We'll take a quick break. John Mozeliak joins us next on KMOX.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Before we get to the college football playoff in completion here, let me just say thank you to Eli Drinkwitz joining us, Doug Armstrong joining us, two big decision makers, and I got another one on the line hanging on right now, and that's John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations. They are just about to reveal the final team of this bracket, so I'll do that bracket reveal after we talk to Mo, who we appreciate his time so much. He is in Dallas this week for the baseball winter meetings. His final one is Cardinals president of baseball operations, and good morning, Mo.
Good morning, Tom.
It's great to be on with you as always, and thank you for doing this. I look forward to seeing what happens down there. I mean, just as a whole with Major League Baseball and how the Cardinals fit into everything, you know. One thing before we talk about, you know, little bits and pieces of what you're trying to build, I notice the Cardinals just overall a feel that you all are saying we could be pretty competitive this year. I mean, you know, the NL Central, the Cardinals organization is trying to win, making sure that while expectations are being managed, that you're not putting out a message that this is a rebuild or a complete teardown of any sort.
No, it is a, you know, it is a different off season for us, no doubt. But really the theme this year is going to be to try to create a lot of opportunity for our younger players, try to figure out exactly what we have. And I do feel like our team is going to be better than a lot of people think we will be, but you know, a lot of that is, hedging on some you know, steps forward from some of our players. Obviously, we think about somebody like a Nolan Gorman. You know, can he be that middle of the order bat? He's going to have to make some adjustments, but if he can, could have a special hitter there. Obviously, someone like Jordan Walker has to make some adjustments at the plate. I know he's working on it as we're speaking, so that's encouraging. But really, it's going to be like, can guys step up? Because, you know, overall, we like our starting pitching. We like our bullpen. Obviously, these are not finished products as we sit here on December 8th because there's still some work to be done. But, you know, overall, we got to approach these meetings being opportunistic and see really if there's other ways that we can try to help our club in the short term, but also look at this organization to set it up for long-term success, and that's what we'll do.
You know, when I look at the club in the short term, and you just answered some of that because you're pinning your hopes on Walker, Gorman, and others to deliver in this manner, but I do wonder where the power comes from. And there's two of them right there, Gorman especially, can hit for a lot of power. But do you also look at it that way? Where will the power come from? Particularly, I look at that outfield combination. If I'm projecting, you know, Nootbaar Siani Walker or Nootbaar Scott Walker, whatever the combination, where is that power going to come from with this club?
Yeah, you're hoping that somebody like a Walker steps up and does that. And I do think it's been a little bit of an afterthought with Contreras in the sense that he you know, he is a guy that can post about a 900 OPS, and if he does that, that's a pretty good middle-of-the-order batter.
Yes, it is. I actually think that's a bigger deal than people are making it out to be. Not that he's playing first base and that he could be healthy and hit in the middle of the order for you, but the fact that he wanted to come back, that he wanted to be part of this. How did that go down? I think I've talked to you about this before, but if we can just, for our listeners, do you feel like that was a positive for you that he wants to be part of this?
You know, obviously when we entered the off season and we came out with our strategy, obviously I had some apprehension on what individuals were going to think and what they were going to want to do. And I think the feeling around our team is that they like our young core. They want to be a part of this. And I think in Wilson's case, you know, obviously, playing more first base is something that he's just looking at a way to make sure he can extend his career, but also maybe be more impactful when he is at the plate. I think sometimes when you're catching, you're trying to really serve two masters, and when you're not catching, you can really just focus on the offense. So I think he's looking forward to seeing what he can do in that regard.
Is your phone lighting up? Are you getting still a lot of calls about players in particular? I want to be careful because, I mean, you obviously are in the middle of trying to build this thing, so I'm not going to put you in a bad position. But, you know, there are a lot of players that are being mentioned out there as part of trades, but, you know, it takes two to tango, does it not? I mean, you've got to be able to find something that is worth your while.
Yeah, I would definitely say over the last week and a half, it's the volume of calls has definitely gone up. So from that standpoint, just trying to remain open-minded and, understand really what these markets look like. And, ultimately, my team will try to assess what we think is best for today and also the future and see if we can't make some decisions. But I do think there'll be some activity this week. It just feels like things are starting to loosen up overall in the baseball market. So I do think if you're one of those people that like to follow action, there should be some this week.
Well, we will certainly keep an eye on that. We're going to have a trio of people down at the winter meetings in Dallas in Mike Claiborne and Ricky Horton and Matt Pauly, all from our radio team. John Mozeliak is with us, president of baseball operations, and Heim Bloom will be taking over that title next year. He's been a busy man, as has Rob Serfolio and you and everybody else. You have a whole new group here coming. If you wouldn't mind commenting on some of these members, looking over your personnel, for maybe a better term for those familiar would be farm director, but he'll be the director of player development, is Larry Day. Tell me about Larry coming from the Guardians organization.
Yeah, so he was their field coordinator. I think he is someone that's going to fit in really well. He gets along with pretty much anybody. Obviously, it's gonna take a different look, right? I've been a part of Gary LaRocque for so long, but, things are changing. And I think Larry is, your classic baseball guy. He's been around the game, knows it. We're going to add a lot of depth to our player development over the course of the next, probably next month, but hopefully get some of this stuff wrapped up before the holidays if possible.
Hey, you certainly have a lot of things you want to do there, and the Cardinals have made it very clear that they're putting all of their resources, a lot of resources, back into that area of the organization. And the Carl Cochan addition, I feel like, is a big one. You've told me you want to be a more athletic team, at this top level and all the way down. If the performance coordinator with the Los Angeles Dodgers from their minor league system is coming in, that seems like a very significant step. They seem to do that very well.
He has a really impressive background. There's not many people that have 5 World Series rings, so that should speak for itself. He won 3 with the Giants as their head strength coach, and then when he migrated over to the Dodgers, he obviously has 2 with them. But he has a really interesting background, impressive resume, and, does have some local connections, played at Southern Illinois, and, really excited to be a part of the Cardinals. So I think he's a great addition, and I look forward to watching him work and working with him.
And Matt Pierpont is now going to be the director of pitching. Tell us how that title and what that job entails for Matt.
Basically, his role will be to oversee all pitching throughout our minor league system. And, the old version of that might have been a pitching coordinator, but to get these types of people, you have to up the title a little bit. But his responsibility will be broad. We still will bring in a pitching coordinator, but overall his emphasis will be on, really trying to optimize or maximize what we're getting out of our pitchers from A to Z.
It does feel like there's even more cohesion than ever, that there will be a lot of communication more than ever. That's something that is just a complete change here, it seems like, than ever between your top level and all the way through the minor leagues, that this is going to be a seamless, that's kind of the goal here.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd agree with that statement. I think, you know, from bottom, top, bottom, we've always had pretty good communication and pretty open lines of communication. And so, you know, I don't think that's going to drastically change that much in terms of, you know, making sure that everybody's on the same page, making sure that collaboration is happening in a 360 model, I think is going to be a little different than where we've been. But, you know, we also have newer people and some people that are younger, whereas in the past we had some people that, you know, had 30, 40, 50 years of experience. So it was a little different. But, you know, overall, I feel like from a communication standpoint, I hope we're as good as where we were.
Yeah.
And that would be great.
Maybe I just didn't word that right. Collaboration is probably a better word. Just a more seamless move here between everybody. Completely understand that. Winter meetings, Dallas. John Mozeliak is going to be there. Always gracious enough to join us on KMOX. Appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tommy. Bye-bye.
Good to visit with the Cardinals president of baseball operations. So the college football, before we go to, I'll tell you what, let's take a break and we'll reveal it with Bernie Miklas and get his comments on it. And then we'll talk about some more things on the way. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX continues right after this. We close the show with Bernie Miklas on Sports on a Sunday morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. You know, I've been listening to you and listening to John Mozeliak and all your other excellent guests and monitoring the college football playoff selection show. So it's been a very busy but very enjoyable Sunday morning so far.
Yes, it has. Thank you very much for listening. And we've had a great lineup of guests, including you. And I wanted to get your analysis, instant analysis, as the bracket was just revealed. So SMU gets that spot over Alabama. And, of course, ESPN milks it for all it's worth, takes it down to the last second, and reveals SMU over Bama. I am actually pleasantly surprised. I thought that the SEC muscle would be too much, but somehow, some way, the Mustangs got in there over the three-loss Tide.
Tom, I echo what you say. I really thought that, pardon the expression, I really thought that the fix would be in. I mean, we've seen it happen in the past with Alabama, although I must point out there was one year where Alabama was the number five and they didn't get in, even though TCU lost the conference championship game and TCU went to the tournament and actually won a game. So it has happened. It's not like Alabama always gets a benefit of the doubt, but I just assumed it would be this way again. It just seemed like Ward Manuel, the chairman of the committee, some of the stuff he was saying was being interpreted as like, well, you know, the teams that are not playing in a conference championship game, you know, there's nothing there that would hurt them, you know, where they are is where they are type thing. And I'm not quoting that exactly, and I apologize. But he was implying that, well, you know, we already know where Alabama is. That was how it was interpreted anyway. So I'm like you. I was pleasantly surprised that they went with SMU. And really, listen, Alabama, the outcome in that ACC game was the worst thing that could have happened to Alabama. Because one of two things had to happen. Alabama needed SMU to win. That didn't happen. Or they needed Clemson to win, but to do it in a way where they just blew SMU out. And listen, it looked like it was going to go that way because SMU was down 17 at the half and 17 going into the fourth quarter. So if Clemson had blown out SMU, I think they could have justified maybe bringing Alabama in. But the way that the Mustangs fought back, the way they just refused to quit. They scored 17 straight points before Clemson, to their credit, scrambled for that 56-yard field goal in the final seconds. That obliterated any possibility that you know, the committee would do something so vicious as to bounce SMU after what we saw last night. And here, one other thing about this, if I could, because yeah. I was thinking about this a lot. Listen, if SMU was in the tournament, so to speak, before the ACC championship game, the losing on a last-second field goal shouldn't cause them to drop below Alabama. If the committee thought Alabama was better last week in the rankings, which they did, it would not have had the Crimson Tide three spots below SMU last week. So Alabama's got better wins, but that was the case 5 days ago, and nothing's changed in that regard, so SMU should be in. The other thing, of the two teams, Alabama's blowout loss at Oklahoma was far worse than either of SMU's defeats to BYU or Clemson.
Yeah, true. I'm with you on that. So the way it's going to go down on Saturday, you're going to have Clemson, Texas. You're going to have Tennessee, Ohio State. This is the 21st. You're going to have SMU, Penn State. The winner of Clemson, Texas gets Arizona State. The winner of Tennessee at Ohio State gets Oregon, a possible Ohio State-Oregon rematch, although Tennessee's good. SMU at Penn State, winner gets Boise State. And then Friday night is going to kick the whole thing off, Indiana at Notre Dame. Are you kidding me? That is a great situation for IU. They're 2 hours away from Notre Dame. They get to go up there. I would imagine some of their fans are going to squeeze their way in there. Notre Dame's awfully good. Winner gets Georgia, which is daunting, but you got to take care of business first.
I love that they put those two teams together. You know, that was my favorite matchup that's coming out of this opening round, for lack of a better term, because there's just so much to it. What an opportunity it is for Indiana, because some people question their resume, and it is true. They don't have a win against anybody who's in the top 25 right now, and so you could make a case to ding them. But I thought they deserved to be in there all along. Listen, there's never going to be a perfect way to do this. It's just not going to happen, because you can evaluate all these teams. There's so many different things. Some people prefer, well, strength of schedule's got to be the biggest thing. Strength of record's got to be the biggest thing. No, the conference you play in, like, you know, if you play in the SEC, you should be given more weight than if you play in the Big 12 or the ACC. And, you know, no. It's all about how many top 25 wins do you have? I mean, we all go around in circles, man. We chase our tails. And at the end of the day, there's not a perfect formula. And so there's going to be some questionable things. But I like the way this thing was laid out. I really do. I think all things considered, knowing that there's no way to make everybody happy, I thought the committee did a pretty good job. And I could nitpick a bunch of things, but what's the point?
No, exactly. It's the first 12-team playoff we've ever had. So let's enjoy it, and then we can figure it out from there. For me, last night was so enjoyable. I mean, I'm just sitting there enjoying a nice dinner down at Katie's Pizza in Ballpark Village, knowing that my team's going to be in tomorrow, and no stress whatsoever. Now I can stress again with Indiana having to play Notre Dame. It should be fun to watch it play out. We have 2 minutes left, Bernie.
Sure.
Your thoughts on the winter meetings. What, from a Cardinals standpoint, would you like to see accomplished?
I don't know that anything will be accomplished, and I'm not saying that in any way, shape, or form to suggest it's not important. In fact, I would, again, kudos to KMOX for sending Matt Pauley down there to be with Ricky Horton and Mike Claiborne. I think it's great. But I think John Mozeliak is still laying groundwork. And, you know, I listened to, of course, the interview that you just had with him and some of the comments he made to Katie Wu, the Athletic. The Cardinals, at least publicly, you know, they don't seem inclined at this point to trade either Ryan Helsley or Eric Fetty. And if they don't want to do that, or they don't do that, and they would only do it, I assume, if they got blown away by great offers, then really the one thing to watch this during the winter meetings is the continuing market, probably with only a few teams interested in Nolan Arenado. So I just think it's kind of a research week for Mo and his staff to see what kind of offers are coming in that would convince them to part with Helsley or Fetty. And the only reason I throw Fetty out there is because he's a walk-year guy, and the starting pitching market in free agency is going absolutely bananas. Teams are losing their minds. They're so desperate for starting pitching. So my thought is Fetty's a Scott Boras client. He's going to leave after this year, I would say 90%. So you trade one season of him to bring in like an influx of more young talent that's going to make you better in the future. From that standpoint, to me, it makes sense. But if the Cardinals are going to stay with what they have and not give these guys away cheaply, I appreciate that part of it. But they're in an interesting situation because they haven't been this way before. I mean, this is the first time in a long time where they're sitting in this position. But they sound like they want to still try to win and still be really competitive and put a good team on the field. I would suggest, hey, why don't you add to the roster you have? And I don't mean any big fish. We know they're not going to do that. So this is a really interesting winter meeting for John Mozeliak's final winter meeting, because there's a whole different vibe to it.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have a big breakdown tomorrow at noon on the Gas House Gang. Bernie Miklos will join me, along with Kevin Wheeler and Matt Pauly, live from the winter meetings in Dallas, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Make sure you subscribe to The Bernie Show on YouTube. It's an absolute must. When big news breaks or big stories come out, he breaks it down like no one else. Thank you, my friend.
Tom, have a good rest of your Sunday, brother.
Appreciate you. It's coming up on noon on KMOX.